This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. A livestock hauler from southern Colorado is under investigation for illegally shipping hundreds of wild horses out of the state. This is the latest development in a story reporter Dave Phillips has been covering for the Gazette in Colorado Springs and for ProPublica, a nonprofit investigative news outlet. Phillips is looking into the possibility that wild horses are ending up in slaughterhouses. And he joins us now. Thanks for being with us, Dave.
Thank you.
This man, a livestock hauler in Lahara, Colorado, is named Tom Davis. What have you discovered about him since you first started investigating this for ProPublica?
Well, very few people actually buy untrained horses, wild horses from the BLM, but this guy was buying hundreds and hundreds of horses a year. In fact, he was 70% of the entire market for sale horses from the BLM. Hmm. And so I wanted to know, who is this guy? And went down and talked to him. It turns out he's a longtime proponent of the slaughter industry who told me there's no better eating than a fat yearling colt. And in fact, he had been trying to set up his own slaughterhouse in the San Luis Valley. Now, I figured that the BLM would have found these things out and done something about it. And in fact, they knew nothing about it and defended him when I brought these details up.
Well, what do we know about what Davis is doing with the horses he's buying, the many, many horses?
Not much, and here's why. He ships them almost immediately out of Colorado. Colorado brand inspection records show that. But then what it looks like is going on is he's taking them to Texas, where no such paperwork is required. Now, if someone was selling them then to the slaughter market, what would happen is they'd sell them to an exporter middleman who would sell them to another exporter middleman in Mexico who would take them to a series of European-owned slaughterhouses that ship meat back to Western Europe.
Could Texas be the funnel for that?
I think it's likely. Now, the Department of Interior is doing an investigation, and it's not clear whether they'll be able to pin him down, but that's certainly where they'll start looking.
The mere shipping of the horses out of Colorado is a violation of the law, correct?
That's right. It's sort of an interesting thing. Now, these brand laws, as they're called, are older than the state itself. These are Wild West laws that were put in place to stop cattle rustling, and they're still on the books today. Now, it looks like, from the documents I've collected, that maybe over 1,000 horses were shipped out of state by this guy, Tom Davis, without inspection. That's a pretty easy thing to prove. And so if the state can prosecute him on that, it's the little paperwork that someone forgot to do, and that's what you can pin him on.
So those would be state-level charges as opposed to federal charges.
Right. And the brand commissioner on the day after Election Day went down and spoke to Tom Davis. Davis admitted to him, apparently, that he had shipped horses without inspection, and the commissioners recommended Davis for prosecution. Now, what happens when he gets prosecuted depends on what the DA in Alamosa decides to do. He can charge all 1,000 horses as one misdemeanor event if he wants to, in which case Davis will have to pay a small fine. Or he could go to the other extreme and charge each horse as a violation. At that point, he'll get into some felony charges and could spend quite a bit of time in jail.
Have you asked Tom Davis point blank, are you exporting horses for slaughter?
Yes, I have. And he tells me absolutely not. He says he finds all these horses good homes. But when I asked him, well, can you introduce me to some of these people who bought horses from you, who you sold to? He said, no way in hell.
The BLM here is really under dueling pressures, I guess you could say. I mean, you describe in your reporting that wild horses are both a protected symbol of the West and they are an invasive species.
That's right. And so the challenge of the BLM is it has to both protect horses and manage them so that it keeps the right numbers of horses on the land.
And so one of the pressures it has is to find homes for the ones that are overpopulating the West.
That's right. And unfortunately, it has not found enough homes over the past 20 years for those horses. And so it essentially piles up horses in storage. And there's now 10,000 more horses in government storage than there are in the wild, at a cost of about $50 million a year to the taxpayer.
Is there any chance the BLM had some awareness that Mr. Davis might be shipping horses for slaughter and turned a blind eye, given the pressure that it's under to lower their numbers in the wild and release pressure, I suppose, on the holding of the horses that are rounded up?
This is really the question that I hope will come out in some investigations. Here's what we know. The BLM claims that it is meticulously careful not to sell any horses to anyone who might harm them. And yet they were selling hundreds of horses to a man who would take them sight unseen. Really, his only request for specifics of horses is that they were big. And the BLM, according to emails I obtained, really turned to Davis. It's not as though Davis was bothering them constantly to get more horses. They were soliciting Davis to take more and more horses as their storage system became more clogged. So in a sense, they had this mutually beneficial relationship. He would make money off of reselling these horses he got very cheaply from the BLM. The BLM could get rid of horses to someone who would take as many as they wanted him to. Did that provide an incentive for them to look the other way? I don't have a clear answer on that, but certainly you could see how that's a possibility.
And I imagine the BLM says it was not turning a blind eye.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Which is why I think the initial BLM investigation that they started this summer was turned over after some of our stories came out to the Inspector General of the Interior so that they could not only investigate Davis, but potentially investigate the BLM as well.
When do you expect results on that?
Authorities are always cagey about releasing any details about investigations, so I don't know.
Dave, what is Tom Davis paying for each horse?
When you get right down to it, he's paying nothing. Officially, he pays $10 per horse. But the thing is that if he orders those horses from a faraway corral, say in Oregon, the government ships them to him for free. So that freight bill normally would cost someone who's buying horses something like $5,000. Instead, they get there and the bill for a truckload of horses is maybe $330. On the market, a single one of those horses might be sold for $330. So if he is selling them to the slaughter market, then the profit incentive is huge.
You're listening to Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner, and we're talking about some recent developments with what's happening to wild horses across the West, including in Colorado. And joining us is Dave Phillips, who's been investigating this for ProPublica and his own newspaper, the Colorado Springs Gazette. Dave, you've been out to see these horses in the wild, and I'd like you to describe for us what that's like. You know, they're often in places that humans don't often tread.
Yeah, almost by definition, wild horses live where we do not. You know, they are in the emptiest scraps of the West that you can possibly imagine. And when I first went to see some of these horses, I was expecting to see scraggly, skinny, pretty miserable-looking animals living out on the desert. In fact, they're stunning. Multicolored bands with long manes and rippling muscles, shiny coats. It's something to see. And in fact, there are a number of places on the western slope in Colorado where anyone can go on public land and see these horses. They're out there living all on their own.
There was really a huge national push that involved, petitions to Congress, campaigns by children to protect wild horses in the West.
That's right. Wild horses in the West once numbered in the millions. They were rivaled only by the buffaloes in terms of herd size. But by the 1970s, there was only an estimated 17,000 left. And that was a time really when America had its ecological awakening. That's when we got the Clean Air Act. That's when we got the Clean Water Act, Endangered Species Act. And we got an act to save wild horses. They needed their own special law because they weren't a native species that could be protected, even though they were endangered. But people realized that they were a valued part of our heritage, and it was something they wanted to protect. The nitty-gritty of that, of how it would best work, is what we've been working on for the last 40 years.
Now, what landowners see who are in some vicinity of the wild horses, what they see is toppled fences, damaged water troughs, and munched on grass from these wild critters.
Absolutely, that happens. I think the challenge for us when we think of wild horses is how can we find a management plan that both protects the land and respects the wildness? that's a really difficult and long conversation that we're going to have, both as managers of public land and as the public. But I think one of the things that it has to include is, how do we encourage predators to be back in this area? There's a lot of research that shows that mountain lions are really effective at controlling wild horse herds. And in fact, there are places in the West where there's no need for roundups and population control. The herds are controlled by predators who live in those areas and are not hunted.
You also look at another way of controlling the horse population, which is sterilization. So there are ways to shoot horses, I guess, with darts and sterilize them for a period of, I think the science has it at about a year right now.
Right. It's not so much sterilization as it is birth control, you know, no different really from human birth control, except in some of the chemical specifics. The nice thing about that is that unlike sterilization, it's reversible. So if you have a big winter die-off and you realize that you don't need to control your herd population anymore, you can just stop giving them this dart injection. Now, the flip side of that is, in order for this to work, horses have to get a dart shot in the rump once a year. And sometimes that's easy in smaller herds that are somewhat accustomed to people. But there are herds that are pretty wild, especially out in places in the Great Basin, and pretty big, maybe 1,000 horses. So to dart all of them once a year is a huge undertaking. It's a promising thing to try and use more, but I'm not sure if it's the answer.
Dave, let me wrap up with what I'm sure many will think is an unappetizing question, literally. This question of, there are too many horses on the land in the West, wild horses. There are many more that are in this holding network. Is anyone moving for the ability to slaughter them for meat? They're eaten as meat in many other countries.
Yeah, you know, I think that is, it's a really politically touchy subject, and a subject that so far officials running the Interior Department and the BLM have been afraid to bring up as a possibility because they think if they do it, they'll lose their job. Is it something that should be discussed? Sure, absolutely. But I think that it's something that should be discussed as part of this larger management discussion about what is the long-term solution. Because right now, all the government is doing is rounding up horses that it can't pay for, and it's not sustainable.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Dave Phillips is covering the conflicts over managing wild horses in the West for ProPublica and the Colorado Springs Gazette. For links to his stories, visit cpr.org. In a more recent development, Interior Secretary Ken Salazar has expressed regret over an Election Day incident in which he reportedly threatened to punch Dave Phillips after Phillips questioned him about the BLM's relationship with that livestock hauler, Tom Davis.